Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 26th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is the supreme law of the land, don't you know? We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And best of all, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. On Friday's broadcast, of course, we had Dr. Bradley with us. We talked about markets head down as interest rates rise. We talked about, you know what? I guess David Malpass, he refused to acknowledge that fossil fuels are warming the planet. Yeah, he was nominated by Trump to be the World Bank leader, the World Bank president, and he at first rejected this global warming idea. But, of course, with pressure from the mainstream press and all the global leaders, the poor guy caved. David Malpass told the world, or told CNN, that he agreed climate change is caused by humans burning fossil fuels, and that he's not a denier. He caved. What a shame. But what do you expect from the global bank leader, right? Look, folks, I don't believe in their lies. I'm not a climate change denier. I believe climate change occurs. I just don't believe humans are the enemy of the planet, and government has to solve that Hegelian dialectic, dishonest, satanic, straight from the pit of hell lie. That's what I don't believe. I'm a denier that government can solve all your problems, right? It can't. So I deny when they say that it can, I deny. Are you now or have you ever been a climate denier? No, I am not and have not, but I deny that the government can solve all the world's problems. I deny when the government says, hey, we got this massive problem and there's no way to win except for turn to government. I deny that's the way forward. Biden declared to 60 Minutes that the COVID-19 pandemic is over. But the Department of Health and Human Services told the Daily Caller there are no plans for the administration to rescind the emergency declaration first implemented by Donald Trump. Yeah, that's right. Donald and good old Biden have the exact same policies. Does that surprise you? Yeah, we also talked about House funding for local police departments. They call it the Invest to Protect Act. It would give $60 million a year for 5 years, so $300 million to fund your local cops. Again, this is out of line, unconstitutional, immoral. We got to impeach all the people that are involved in every bit of this. We got to make sure they never, ever, ever go back to Congress. Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck rightly blasted credit card companies because they created a new merchant for firearms code for purchases, if you will. Visa and MasterCard together, the largest payment processors in the world, I might add, they have announced that they have put tracking on your gun purchases. That's right. They've established what they call a new merchandise category. It's dubbed for gun and ammunition retailers purchases. The International Standards Organization, ISO, if you will, says the new merchant category code is MCC. It's disaster, folks. It's the first step to absolutely disarming the public in a literal way. And what the government will do is use a third party, the credit card companies, to do it and say that they're not to blame. Make no mistake, it's absolutely bogus. China paid scientists up to $1 million to leave their work on sensitive weapons technologies and report back to the Communist Nation of China. Yeah, they were in the top U.S. labs in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And so now we're basically compromised from the inside, completely documented. Are you surprised? We can't have the FBI weaponized against the American people in the United States, Mike Lindell told the American people on Monday, adding that he will continue to advocate for the rejection of ballot voting machines, and we need to go back to paper ballots. But they've absolutely attacked Mike Lindell. Shame on them. 0 to 3 years old, they call it an early childhood development nonpartisan organization. It promotes gender or transgender ideology to children, folks. They received over $250 million in taxpayer funds. So, yeah, we're all funding the transgender agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you like it or not, your criminal government is involved in it up to their eyeballs. Senate Republicans are calling on the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, to stop funding the nonprofit organization that funded dollars to the Chinese lab that may have created the coronavirus. So, folks, our tax dollars are creating the coronavirus and promoting transgender children. It's insane, folks. Now, Governor J.D. Pritzker activated the National Guard over illegals arriving in Illinois. So now the Democrats are, you know, thinking there is a crisis because of the illegal aliens. But again, I don't support this Democrat-Republican battle idea where when the Democrats, you know, bus illegals and fly illegals all around the country and deposit them in certain cities, you know, the Republicans howl and say how awful that is. But then when the Republicans do it, everybody wants to applaud going, yeah, we'll show them. In either case, it's unconstitutional. In either case, it puts American cities and families and homes and towns and, you know, your people at risk. And in either case, they get what their joint agenda is all about. What's that, you might ask? To destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Sam Bushman. That's a recap of Friday's show. Saturday, we did not have a show. Long story short, family duties call. So we took care of some family business. Wonderful weekend, by the way. And without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you. With that litany of owing and awfuls, is there anything going right? I mean, come on. We have so much mud being thrown against the wall.
There's a promise for things to go right, Dr. Bradley. I'm glad you led with that because there is a promise for things to go right. So I'm going to ask you a fundamental question. Then I'm going to let you rock and roll. Here's the question. If Republicans take over the House, they say as expected, and if possibly they take over the Senate, Dr. Bradley, will anything change?
I think that you'll see some superficial eyewash kinds of things. I mean, tragically, the two-party system is really a throw the bums out so the new bums can run it just the way the old bums were running it. That's been the philosophy for many decades, even a century and a half. I think the Lincoln administration brought that modality into full operation. But sadly, I mean, if you read Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, it's a, I don't remember exactly, about 1,500 pages of review of the efforts by the globalists to completely gain control of everything Americanist. And by the way, Quigley was a mentor of Bill Clinton, and so that's pretty well documented of his background. But the point of the matter is that their effort was to gain both parties so that they could, with slight nuances, continue the same path they'd been doing. I've said lots of times that the Republicans seem to be terrified of governance. I suspect that it'll look to the on the surface that Biden and the Democrats don't have their way, and some of the, really risky resolutions that are in front of the House will probably die. There'll be some brave Republicans that'll try to impeach Bill Clinton. I think that there'll be a deflection effort on that by other Republicans, the Mitch McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitt Romneys and so on. I think that, sadly, I just don't see a big change happening. But you know, back in the midterm elections that they had, I think it was 1938, with FDR, he lost 72 seats in the House. I don't think it'll be quite that bad for the Democrats this time. But actually, the 72 seats he lost still didn't give the Republicans a majority. I mean, the Democrats had complete control back in the FDR days. But I think you'll see a substantial loss by the Democrats. I think that the Senate will be much more tempered. I think there's only 14 Democrat seats that are up for grabs this time. There's a total of 35 seats that are up for election. 21 of them, I believe, are Republican seats that are contended, and only 14 Democrat seats. So if the Republicans won all 14 of those seats, which is very unlikely because they're in very strong Democrat strongholds at the time. But even at that, you'd only have 64 Republicans, and so you wouldn't have an opportunity to really make a difference with impeachment. But I think that they could make a show of trying to stall the Democrats' agenda. But sadly, it's like Wallace used to say, there's hardly a dime's worth of difference between the two parties. So I'm a little bit worried about this, regardless of who wins. But
Roger that. We'll talk more about it in detail with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. I'm Sam Bushman. He's Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation is the goal, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom's rising sun.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at lovingliberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is a website. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation. Amen to that goal. Ladies and gentlemen, if Republicans take over the House, which they say is likely, in other words, it's expected, and if they take over the Senate, that's a possibility. Will you see anything change? Sadly, Dr. Bradley's saying, you know, you'll have superficial changes, but not real fundamental changes. And I think that answer is spot on. Remember back in 1994, it was called the Contract with America. It was an absolute epic failure under the Newt Gingrich plan. He cheated on his wife and completely melted down personally, while the whole Contract with America plan never was realized, never materialized, if you will. Between 2016 and 2020, the same ideology was just known as called America First, folks. Same kind of plan. Now, Kevin McCarthy unveiled the plan. They call it the Commitment for America, or Commitment to America, at a factory in Pittsburgh just last week, Dr. Bradley. Now, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise claims it's a, quote, bold conservative vision for a prosperous America that will reverse Biden and Pelosi's self-made crisis. Now, pretty interesting to say that. I want to get into the details in just a second, but I want you to respond to all that rhetoric first. You know, sadly, when it happens once, you say shame on me, you know, or shame on them. But if it happens twice, three times, four times, shame on us. We've been down this road over and over and over. You highlighted 1938. You highlighted, you know, the kick the bums out then, massive sweep. We did it in 94. We've done it over and over and over and over. And every time we get the same agenda. There's a lot of difference in rhetoric. There's a difference in kind of policy. But it really all amounts to different roads to the same destination, which is destruction of the greatest country on the face of the earth, Dr. Bradley.
Well, let's look at a quotation from Thomas Jefferson. It's brief, and then I think I need to talk about indicators and some maybe some examples of some challenges. But here's what Jefferson said.
And I want to bring up the term of milestones as well as this unfolds. Go ahead, sir.
Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of a day, but a series of oppressions begin at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers, that means parties, administrations, whatever, too plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. So we see things time after time after time replaying this out, and we have examples in modern history that this has happened as recently as the Trump administration. But, of course, we see the Biden administration. Everybody thinks we're on a death spiral now, and honestly, we are. But the fact of the matter is that a couple of two or three things, and I throw it back to you because I'm not sure where you're taking this, but the idea of Republicans taking over gravely concerns me for a lot of reasons, one of which is if there is a party that is leading the movement to change our Constitution through a convention, it is the Republican Party. We find Democrats that are supportive of our position that we don't want to change the Constitution. And we get blamed by Republicans that claim to be conservative, constitutional, you know, love the Constitution Republicans, that, that you know, we're enemies because we align with Democrats that say we don't want to change the Constitution. But if there's a party seeking to rewrite our Constitution through a convention, it is the Republicans. That's very gravely concerning. This is not a good century to write a constitution with the current status and the mindset that's going on with the acrimony and the lack of statesmen and the lack of understanding, all of that stuff. But in addition to that, let's look back at the Gingrich contract with America, then what Trump has been touting as some of his New Deal kind of things, and that was just promoted recently by the Republicans. The fact of the matter is the only contract with America is the United States Constitution. And if you have Republicans touting a new contract that has their flavor of whether it's fascist or democratic socialistic perspectives that steps beyond the United States contract that exists, it continues to exist, the United States Constitution, what you have is just a different and perhaps not as identifiable program for the destruction of the nation. And so what we need to do is weigh and measure every single recommendation in a proper scale, and that is the scale that was ratified, that was set forth, and everyone that holds office takes an oath to uphold. And if it doesn't uphold that scale, if it doesn't balance out in that scale, it's to be rejected. See, the Republicans may say, we need more whatever. Pick any subject you want. They want to improve something in the nation. And if it oversteps the Constitution, it's not appropriate. It's, in fact, it's destructive. And so what Americans need to do is recognize, you know, Jefferson's statement that single acts of tyranny that are carried out between different administrations, it says, you know what? It's a systematic plan for reducing us to slavery. And so the Republicans can come along and tout all of their little fancy things. Usually they have a spin of, if it's good for business, it's good for America. Some of the worst decisions that have ever been made have been with some kind of fascist proposal to improve something for businesses. You know, fascism is basically a public-private partnership. And the Republicans are really big on that. Of course, the Democrats are getting into that, too, because they see it's a great plan for reducing us to slavery. But if you have a special interest groups, a group that's pulling the levers of government that they believe will give them greater benefit, you're on the wrong path. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, in World War II, we had a big gang war that went on. Was it going to be fascist or was it going to be communist? Or was it going to be social democracy? You know, you could have the De Gaulle flavor of tyranny. You could have the Hitler flavor. You could have the Stalin flavor. You could have the Tojo flavor. But you know what? They were all just bad flavors of government. Every single one of them led to destruction, death, horror. None of it had a happily ever after outcome. It was just whose gang was going to win. And FDR was kind of playing all sides against the middle. And he ended up, you know, I think he was always inclined to end up in Stalin's camp. But the fact of the matter is the U.S. helped promote all of these things. The principles that we need to uphold are well-established, well-defined, written in plain English, and we can go back to them. They worked until we got these different party parameters going on, and the guys that were written about in the effort to get this New World Order going, Carol Quigley and his book, people need to review it. Well, let me say this, a 1,500-page book, probably most aren't going to. But if you get Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, excuse me, The Naked Capitalist, he wrote A Naked Communist too, read that too, it's good. But The Naked Capitalist is a book review of Carol Quigley's book. And it's not that big. You could, I mean, most people, a couple of days might take them, but you could read it in one sitting if you wanted. But The Naked Capitalist talks about these people. You know, they're in the Council on Foreign Relations. Quigley wrote openly about them. He said, the only thing I disagree with these people about is that they want secrecy. He says they ought to have more publication because, man, it's a good idea. A globalist government. But that's what the Council on Foreign Relations has been working for since it was started by the cronies of Woodrow Wilson after World War I. And it's been moving forward. It is the de facto seat of power in the United States. I mean, you look at what Hillary Clinton said about it when they moved a satellite office down into Washington so she didn't go home to the mothership in New York to be able to get instructions. This is when she was Secretary of State. She said this. I mean, come on, people. It's more than handwriting on the wall. It's clearly spelled out. The globalist movement is winning, and they're subverting the Americanist philosophies that made us what we were for so many decades.
And let me tell you how you know it's completely bogus. When House Minority Whip Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy roll out their plan, their claim, it's a bold conservative vision for a prosperous America. And then they say that will reverse Biden and Pelosi's self-made crises. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't get to this point in America with just the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. We got here with Democrats and Republicans playing against each other in the Hegelian dialectic, deceiving us all. They've partnered in getting us to where we are today. Let's be very clear about that fact. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live continues.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Natural Resources Defense Council, or NRDC, a major U.S. green group, has influenced the Biden administration in policymaking. It has now been exposed to have deep ties to the communist Chinese government. The NRDC, a nonprofit organization based in New York City, has worked extensively with China since the mid-1990s. A 17-year-old is under arrest in the United Kingdom for this month's massive data breach at Rockstar Games. Roughly 90 videos of the unreleased Grand Theft Auto 6 is one of the biggest leaks in video game history. Hurricane Ian is projected to hit the west coast of Florida by midweek. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis on Sunday.
On the National Hurricane Center to go enter Florida about Taylor County. And it's important to know what that means. That really is an estimate of a variety of different models. There are some models that want to tug this thing more deep into the Florida panhandle. There are also some that want to bring it for landfall in the Tampa Bay region.
In Western Asia, Lebanon's banks will reopen Monday, following 5 days of closures, following a wave of holdups in the country by depositors seeking access to their frozen savings. The holdups reflect savers' desperation 3 years after Lebanon's financial system collapsed due to decades of state corruption, waste, and unsustainable financial policies. A coalition of three right-wing parties is on course for majorities in both houses of the Italian parliament. Initial results from Sunday's general election show. This will be Italy's most conservative government since World War II, and the first time a woman will be in charge in Italy. Thanks for listening on this Monday morning as we get things rolling. We are USA Radio News.
This week on the Green Stock Journal, we're looking at public companies dedicated to environmentally friendly alternative energy sources. Blue Biofuels, trading under the symbol BIOF, has developed and patented a technology that can convert ordinary plant materials such as king grass, sugarcane bagasse, and farm waste into sugars that are used to create ethanol and sustainable aviation fuels. Blue Biofuels does this in a CO2-neutral and environmentally friendly manner. With the Ukraine war leading to grain shortages and record-high corn prices, Blue Biofuels offers an alternative to corn-based ethanol by using plant-based waste. There are limitations in the amount of corn available for fuel, whereas there is sufficient plant-based feedstock suitable for the BIOF process to replace half the fossil fuels used in the U.S. Technologies like Blue Biofuels could be the answer that brings about a biofuels revolution, producing billions of gallons a year, making green energy production finally a reality. Do your research now on BIOF.
For more on this story, visit GreenStockJournal.com. GreenStockJournal.com.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. If the Republicans take over the House, widely expected, and possibly even the Senate, will anything change? I don't believe so. I believe it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all talk. And I'll give you a quick example to make the point. Number one, you look at the Republicans and the Democrats. They're both sending illegals all over our country. The Democrats do it in secret. The Republicans call a halt and go, oh, my gosh, look what they're doing. And then the Republicans say, we're going to show them. And they do the same thing. So is it better that Ron or Biden sends illegals all over the country? Oh, well, when Biden does it, he's evil. When Ron does it, it's to show them. Okay, the same policies happen. America gets full of illegals. Then they all battle about if they can vote or not. In the end of the day, illegals can vote. Thus, they've absolutely committed fraud on your elections out in the open. I bring it up, and then they run around and go, see, Sam says there's election fraud without any proof. Okay, Kevin McCarthy literally unveiled this commitment to America at a factory in Pittsburgh. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise claims it's a, quote, bold conservative vision for a prosperous America that will reverse Biden's and Pelosi's self-made crisis. Look, we didn't get here to this point because of Nancy and Joe. Okay? The Republicans had control in the last 30 years more than the Democrats. Remember Roe versus Wade, the murderous 60-plus million babies murdered abortion agenda took place with a Republican-controlled court, do you understand? Okay, now listen. Thomas Jefferson says when a single act of tyranny happens, it might just be the order of the day. might be the opinion of the day, but when it happens consistently over time, it's a goal to move us towards slavery. Republicans and Democrats, if they're going to be honest about it, have to share that responsibility. They act like they're 180 degrees from one another. But it isn't true. The deep state has Republicans and Democrats in it, and they're against us all. All right, now listen, McCarthy writes in Breitbart, listen carefully, our plan is built on four key principles. All right, this is what their plan is built upon. They say an economy that is strong. Now let me stop you there, and let's talk milestones. If you want an economy that's strong, the only way to get it done is go back to constitutional currency. You will never have a real strong economy that's based on assets and that's real established asset-based wealth if you go back to constitutional currency. If you keep the Federal Reserve in place, if you keep the progressive tax system in place and the IRS, you will never have a strong economy. Dr. Bradley, you want to speak to that first? They're leading with the economy. They will never have a real strong economy if they keep the Federal Reserve and the IRS in place. It's absolutely impossible, sir.
Your statements are accurate. The centrally controlled economy is a point of the Communist Manifesto. And the idea of the progressive tax structure, a la IRS and everything they've established there, is a point of the Communist Manifesto. You cannot build economies that are strong and successful based on Communist Manifesto principles. And if they're using the current foundation, now, by the way, let's just take, I don't know how many current, there. Let's say there's 10 different levels of tax percentages on their progressive income tax they've got right now. So you have 10 different levels of categories you can fall into that will say how much percentage of your income is going to go off to the IRS. Here recently they've had efforts by people like Mike Lee of Utah, a so-called constitutional senator, probably better than most out there. But he wants 5 levels of progressive income tax. Okay, so if you have 10 or you have 5, both of them are out of the Communist Manifesto. You cannot say that you have actually improved the program by changing little levels or plateaus that you get taxed at. It's still a progressive income tax, which Marx called for.
And it's still fake money they're printing, whether you print
absolutely.
It fast or slow. Whether you print more of it or less of it, whether you increase the debt faster or slower or whatever else. Look, the bottom line is a fake fiat money system always, in every country that's ever used it in history, fails.
There's
it is not
been,
a debate.
Yeah, there has never been an economy that hasn't had that happen, that has had a fiat-type money that has not failed. And we could give you quotation after quotation. We could look at Jefferson, we could look at Washington. I mean, these icons of liberty understood well in the day that they established the Constitution that you can't have a fiat money and long have it last.
All right, so when they talk about an economy that's strong, my question is, will they abolish the Federal Reserve and the IRS? If no, they are lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, even if they don't understand they're lying. They may be genuine in their belief and in their theory and in their idea, but they don't understand constitutional principles. They don't understand the principles of liberty versus tyranny. So they're either lying to you or they don't understand. I don't know which, and I don't really care, because the fact is they'll lead us straight to heck in a handbasket. The second one is they say a nation that's safe, doctor. A nation that's safe. And I kind of think about that and say, wow, what does a safe nation mean? Our government's not, at least at the general level, isn't primarily focused on safety per se. If you trade your liberty for safety, you'll wind up with neither, warned the founding fathers, right? But safety is what they're leading with a false economy. How is that safe?
Well, it's really not. And again, you can take the nth degree on this thing and say, oh, someone in solitary confinement is safe. But that doesn't mean that they enjoy any measure of liberty. And if you're doing things like what they're passing, this idea of funding local police with federal funds, taking away the idea of local management of your law, your peacekeepers, if you will, that's a big problem. And so if the Republicans think that they're going to do something on safety by imposing a national police force, I don't know what they're, well, or red flag laws, or changing the Second Amendment through legislative actions that violate the Second Amendment, the right to keep bear arms. If Republican approaches do that kind of thing, they're actually facilitating the destruction of liberty in this nation.
And will they abolish the FBI and the CIA is my question, because those are two of the most unsafe agencies that we have. The FBI is domestically attacking all of us, the CIA around the world. Look, they've been busted dealing drugs, sex, prostitutes, letting information fall into the wrong hands, taking over nations. Look, the least safe two organizations are the FBI and the CIA. Ron Paul documented this blowback. You know, Homeland Security, are they going to abolish all it? No, remember, Republicans created Homeland Security, right?
Right. See, the problem is that we have this solve it at the general government level, the national government, the federal government, whatever you want to call it, but it is the general government. And what the American Founding Fathers did is they completely eschewed that idea. They set out a specific plan that had limits and bounds on that general government. Powers were few and well-defined. Everything else was retained at the state and local level or individuals. And what's happening is a centralization. But by the way, that's been a Republican move since Lincoln. And we have been going more and more and more to the Republican view of larger and larger government, in spite of the fact they say they're the small government guys. When it comes to the overarching things of national police forces and so on, the Republicans have been pretty good at making it bigger, 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 which is pretty bad. So we as Americans need to recognize that that all of these high-sounding promises, they were established well under, let's take the General Welfare Clause in the preamble as well as Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. General welfare has to do with good government. Well, that's what they were trying to give us, was good government. That good government was predictable and stable, and it was designed to prevent invasion from outside. It was designed to help make sure that there was domestic tranquility because justice was being carried out in a court system that was fair and equitable and just and so on. The idea that the economy was going to be based upon real money, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, coining money. And all of those kinds of things were there so that we had a predictable, stable government in which we could go have success. But if you're dinking around with all of those things, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and you're trying to put, you know, red flag laws out there, you're going to try and put, some kind of common sense laws about the Second Amendment, or you're going to put a larger police force or a national police force, I mean, we could make... Let's come back and talk about how business that is played to by Republicans oftentimes becomes tyranny, if we could.
We got to do it. And then I got two other ideas that they claim, as well as I want to know how much did the debt increase under Donald Trump. We'll talk about that, too, with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. A shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
The Democrats and the Republicans are all part of the same agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, the Republicans are doing their polls. Do you think Trump should run in 2024? He hasn't even decided to run yet, ladies and gentlemen. Furthermore, they say this. There's a new poll out. You can determine how MAGA you really are. How MAGA are you, Dr. Scott Bradley? You can take the test and find out. And I'm thinking, this is absolutely pure Pavlov just permeating the airwaves. This is insanity, folks. Look, will they abolish the FBI, the CIA, and Homeland Security? Will they abolish the Federal Reserve and the IRS? How about the Education Department they've been promising to abolish forever? Are they going to get that done? The answer is no, 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 no. How much did the national debt increase under Donald Trump? He added $6.7 trillion, ladies and gentlemen, from fiscal year 2017 to fiscal year 2020. Literally in a four-year period of time, or three and a half, whatever it is, he literally added $6.7 trillion. That's like a 33% increase. It was like $20 trillion before he started, $27 trillion when he left about, give or take, because, again, the numbers that they categorize doesn't totally relate to his whole administration because they do it based on fiscal years and all this kind of stuff. But look, we have absolutely exploded the debt under Trump. They've promised to get rid of the Education Department. They've done none of it. Murdering babies, the big policy, was done with a Republican court. Literally this idea, you know, about the Federal Reserve and the IRS. Look, they're not going to do anything with that. Homeland Security was created under a Republican administration. They talk as they beg for money and run these goofy Pavlov-type polls. But in reality, look, they pretend they're the business guys, Dr. Bradley. They pretend that they're for the small business. They're for you. But they're in bed with big business till the cows come home, doctor.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, that's not the problem. It's one of the problems, one of the many. Right now, our current debt is $31 trillion, roughly. We're just a few billion underneath that. What's a few billion among friends? But if we look back even to Jimmy Carter, you know, I mean, $669 billion. I mean, 4 years later, $964 billion. And then it increased $1.77 trillion. It increased by $1.77 trillion during Reagan's two terms. $1.4 trillion under Bush Elder, $1.5 trillion under Clinton, $5.3 trillion under Bush the Younger, $8.7 trillion during the Obama. I mean, come on, people. Do you see a pattern here?
The Republicans are every bit as guilty as the Democrats on this reality check. So don't tell me you're going to have a strong economy. Don't tell me you're going to go ahead and have a safe nation. And then they say this. Listen to the last two, Dr. Bradley. This is really interesting. So you're going to have a strong economy, a nation that's safe. Then they say a future built on freedom. What does that even mean? The only way you can have a future built on freedom is if we have a moral and a religious people, period. Okay? And then we have complete fidelity to the Constitution. Okay? They don't have fidelity to the Constitution. They're not even talking about religious or morality. Or religion or morality in the people. They're just talking about they can make freedom happen, supposedly, at the central government level. It's a farce, ladies and gentlemen. And then they finally say a government that's accountable. How accountable was Donald Trump when the debt skyrocketed? How accountable was Ronald Reagan when the debt skyrocketed? See, these guys have created some of the most sinister government programs on the planet and spent as much money as the Democrats, if not even more. And then they say we're going to have accountable government. We're going to have freedom. We're going to have an economic that's prospering, or an economy that's great, a strong economy, a safe nation. See, none of these four principles, in my mind, have any weight because they're all fraudulent. They mean nothing. They're great sounding sound bites, but they don't get at the core of what it takes to have liberty at all, Dr. Bradley.
My undergraduate focus was political science, and we could talk at some length about that. But one of the courses I took, I don't remember the name exactly, but it was something like political speak. We studied, no, it was the language of politics. I believe that was the actual name of it. And the language of politics, we reviewed how politicians that are successful use a euphemistic phraseology. I mean, like, let's take, I mean, Obama was probably one of the best examples I ever saw on this. Now, the Republicans are approaching what he said, but he said, change you can believe in. Oh, yeah, I like that. Sam, you and I may be pretty close about the kind of change we'd like to see, but you could probably get 30 million different views of what kind of change people wanted to believe in. But it was so euphemistic, it was so broad, everybody thinks, oh, he's talking to me. That's exactly what we need today. And so here we have euphemistic-sounding terms, you know, safety and security and economy and this idea. I mean, every one of their pillars or whatever they're building on these things is a euphemistic term that, you know, Adolf Hitler probably could have proposed those things. In fact, he largely did, and so did Mussolini. The idea that we're gonna turn our economy around, it's gonna be great. And you know what Hitler did? I mean, and Mussolini, the trains ran on time. Oh my goodness, that's something we really need is a public transportation system that meets the needs of the people. All of these things led to a very sad outcome. And what we need to do is go back to the foundation. Again, I keep saying this. I'm a broken record. I know. But that general welfare clause had nothing to do with redistributing wealth. It had nothing to do with government intervention in business or anything like that. It had everything to do with government in its right role and letting people live in freedom. And this, what do any of these little cool watchwords mean under the Republicans? And I don't want everybody to think we're just ragging on the Republicans completely, because the Democrats do everything every bit as stupidly, and we've watched what they've been doing, but we fail to watch what the Republicans are doing when they do it. And it is a return to the foundation. That's the only thing that's going to work when the Constitution, morality, religiosity, all of those things, public and private, virtue, all of those kinds of things are really what matters. And ideas of central planning and government programs and everything else like that. I'll give you a couple of quick examples. There's the Chamber of Commerce, for example. Oh, man, that's all business. That's great. They're okay guys, I know. But they want the immigration stuff. I think they're at the basis of it, the problems that we're having, because they want a cheap labor force. And they say what's good for business is good for the country. They don't actually overtly state the thing, but they really do want some immigration stuff that would actually destroy the country based upon open door policy. Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, let's just take that little state entity. It has kept the Republicans in power in Idaho. And what they're looking for is to pull the levers of government in favor of commerce and industry. And when you're pulling levers of government for special interest groups, somebody else pays the price. Somebody else is losing liberty. And so it's one of those things where the benefit of one is the detriment of another. And that's what's happening when we play these things against each other. And that, I fear, what is happening with this new Republican proposal. It's poison whether it's Democrat or Republican, we need to go back to the foundation and apply those principles. That is the whole basis of our liberty. And, of course, it's under God because God ordained it. And this nation is a land of liberty. I'm firmly convinced of that. And we've squandered it. So all of these proposals that sound good, it's the language of politics.
They're and speaking of the language of politics, every single day I get multiple emails from the Republican Party begging me for money, just begging for money. And ladies and gentlemen, here's what the article says relating to this. Amid a GOP cash crunch, the poor, struggling GOP, will one very flush ally, Donald, be sharing the wealth? Is the question that I have. Donald Trump, they say, is sitting on a huge campaign war chest. And now he's eyeing a television ad to go ahead and help the Republicans win in the midterms. But I'm thinking he sure waited too long with his big war chest, right? But then they say there's this huge fundraiser and stuff like that. There's all this stuff going on. Look, these people plead poverty, ladies and gentlemen. And all they say is, look, the Democrats are going to out-fundraise us and take over if we're not very careful. Sam, put in your money. And I'm literally struggling to support my family with the abusive policies they both have created to the point where I don't have a dime to spare for these people. Neither do you, ladies and gentlemen. And you get deceived into funding them so they can what? Well, they can lie and tell you they're going to abolish the Education Department, which they promised for literally my whole lifetime. Okay, they get nothing done. We either go 100 miles per hour towards tyranny with the Democrats or 85 miles per hour into the Republicans. That's the only difference. Neither of them will make any policies that will change directions. What government program, what government department are they committing to abolish? And the answer is none. And when they've committed to abolish the Education Department, now the Education Department's in bed with the FBI and the Justice Department to go ahead and call grandma a terrorist. And all they do is go, oh, those bad Democrats. Oh, golly, you better elect us Republicans. I'm attacking both parties and saying, look, our founders warned us against this partisan divide that we seem to be so caught up in, Doctor. They warned us. When will we listen, sir?
Well, we're out of time, it looks to me like, really. But if you went back to George Washington's farewell address, he put together an amazing outline that if we were willing to review daily, how we keep these things in check and the partisanship. And he warned us, he begged us, he cajoled us. He almost wept. I don't know what he did when he was writing it, but pleading with us to not go down this partisanship. It is it's a machination, which is basically a conspiracy. It's a machination that can be twisted and turned to bring scoundrels into office. And you look who's there now. We got knotheads everywhere. And some of them are simply figureheads, like Joe Biden. Again, I don't know if he knows which bedroom he goes to bed in at night and which one he wakes up in with his cognitive challenges. But his strings are being pulled. He is being directed for an agenda. Every step of the way, whether it's packing the Supreme Court and the commission he's got going there, or some other bozo thing about trying to make a federal government program that pays for abortion, or at least will ship you around the country to get into a state that'll allow you to have one. Every step of the way, the government's involved in stuff that has no right to be involved in. And each side says, look over here, we're good, we'll take care of you. No, you won't. That isn't your job. Is single acts of tyranny that are carried on are deliberate plans for reducing us to slavery, regardless
Ladies
of
and gentlemen,
administration.
If we, the people, don't jettison this partisan politics, this deceptive, dishonest, pretend divide, and elect real constitutional patriots, real statesmen and women who understand and who will obey the supreme law of our land, we will absolutely continue the meltdown we're experiencing now. You got that? Remember who gave it to you straight. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and Sam Bushman, lovingliberty.net. Share the word, tell the tale, stand for truth. God save the Republic of the United States of America.